Ready?
All right.
I'll just check the time if we're about to start. So 37 minutes. Okay.
Hi, I'm John. Founding met. Ugh, shit.
38 minutes.
Hi, I'm John.
Hi, I'm John.
Fuck you. I'm John, one of the founding mental members of Avast Re, pyro metal band.
And I'm John, and I once got a lift down a mountain with the Pakistani army.
And I'm not John, and I'm very, very sorry for last week. If you couldn't tell, I had just come off night shifts, and we can't record till the evening, so I was very tired, and I can only apologise. Very grumpy. I was very interrupting. I'm not promising to not interrupt anyone this week, but maybe a bit less. Maybe we'll get some feedback. Maybe that's what the people want, but I would like to apologise to the two Johns on behalf. I was tired. I was grumpy. I had had my control taken away from me. It was all very new to me. So, this is... What did we settle on? Would John or not John rather sometimes maybe? A podcast where we ask Johns and not Johns, would they rather questions or would they not rather questions? And sometimes we answer, sometimes we don't. Parentheses. Week two.
Well, we've got to streamline this.
Well, maybe we'll just set it up as a... What's it called when you just take the first letter of every word?
Acronym.
An acronym, thank you. Is acronym an acronym for something?
No.
Could we make it something for something?
It's an advanced condensation relating... How do you even spell
relating
acronym?
Or narrating your mother's nasal.
Great.
Anyway.
That's exactly what I wanted to
Let's jump right in.
Oh, you prick.
It's not even my week. It's your week.
It's John's week, and bonus points to John this week if he remembers what the actual phrase is, because you said it wrong.
So let's dive right in.
Thank you.
A couple of days after this podcast will go out, the 19th of September is International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Arr!
So, my first question is, would you rather...
Wait, you're not Scooby-Doo. You're a pirate.
That was an inquisitive
Oh, okay.
How many pirate metal bands have you been in? None.
I wasn't invited.
Because you're not... Stop scurvy enough.
Look, I'm in control of this podcast.
Loosely.
Allegedly. Would you rather be required to talk like a pirate all of the time or know the definition of every word in the Oxford English Dictionary?
Talk like a pirate.
It's too late. But so you're required to talk like a pirate or you're required to know the definition of every word?
Well, you just do know every word.
Oh, yeah.
Following a thesaurus.
Yeah, obviously I'd rather have an amazing vernacular than sound like a West Country disabled person.
The phrase you're looking for is have an amazing vocabulary.
Vernacular.
Vernacular is a local term or something. Like in my trade, I work with aircraft. It doesn't matter.
Do you? I don't think you've mentioned that before.
All right, fucking... chimney sweep, calm down. Right, yeah. But when we take the aircraft out, we just go, oh, can you get the wagon? It's not a fucking horse and cart, is it? We've got two different vehicles made by two different manufacturers that do the same fucking job. We just call it the wagon. That's our vernacular. If I said to you, oh, Matt, just jump in the wagon, you'd be like, horse and cart? I don't... What are you on about, mate?
Well, first
guys,
of all...
Guys, me, in my circles, it makes sense.
First... Johns and not Johns, we're getting pretty sidetracked now.
Okay.
Well, who wants to have a...
I should have said lexicon. I said vernacular. But also, just to clarify, the wagon is what the horse is dragging. It's not a horse and car. It's a horse and then the wagon. The wagon is what the horse drags. So don't group the horse in with that.
Wagons are for landlubbers.
I'm pretty sure that boats have trailers too. But clearly, as pointed out by my example, I don't know all the words. I'd love to know all the words. I love hearing new words. Why do you think there's so much industry based on word of the day wallet paper, word of the day calendars, word of the day screensavers? I'm running out of examples, but how infuriating is it when you get people that overuse certain words? What's the first thing you're taught in English when you get to the point where you can start developing your own lexicon? Creative writing. He said, she said, they said, no. He yelled, he shouted, she whispered, he exclaimed. Different words impart different feelings on different people, and the usage of them at the correct time can invoke different reactions.
When you be a pirate, all you do is be shouting. Everyone knows what you're on about. No mixed messages here, Sonny Jim.
I was going to say that Not John had touched on a nerve there, particularly with the he said, she said. Because people don't even use the word said anymore. They just use the word like instead of said.
Oh, my God. And he was like, she were like, and they were like, oh, my God, Love Island. If you could, sorry.
Just because you be knowing words, don't be knowing everyone else using them correctly. Like.
Sorry, Pirate John, just on that note, if you watch Towie or Love Island, please don't listen to our podcast anymore. I ask you politely, because a large amount of the lexicon may go above your head, and
that'd be true.
There are better things out there for you. At no point am I going to sleep with either John and lie to the other John about it, and neither of them fake tans. So it's not for you. Don't worry. Thank you for trying, but we're not interested.
I get a good tan upon the high seas. There'd be no trees above my head.
If your soul
having to think in pirates quite difficult for me at the moment.
If your sole argument is just talking like a pirate, I think I've got this in the bag. Have you got any actual arguments?
That's why I'm going to switch back to my native tongue of non-regional dialect English.
Is that because talking like a pirate?
Translate my argument into pirate first of all, and then into something that could be constructed into an argument doesn't work for me at the moment, but. Pirates, they ruled the seven seas. That's fact. They didn't need fancy long words. If you recall back into Pirates of the Caribbean with parlays and accreating people's requests, it doesn't mean shit. Whoever's got the sword is the winner, really, isn't it? Oh, the pen is mightier than the sword. Doesn't help you when you've been boarded, you've been plundered, and you don't have to use long words. You just shout R at people and they fucking do what you tell them to. It's pretty easy. In the trade, you don't need long words. There's no point. And even if you know really long words, it doesn't mean the people you're talking to know the long words. I'm not trying to pick apart your argument, but just because you know how to use every single word in the dictionary correctly doesn't mean that people you talk to will know them. If you go with the basics of, go here, go there, that's easy. But if you're going, if talking to somebody who's not speaking the same language, you go, adjacent to yonder cobbled street. They just look at you blankly. They have no idea what we're on about. But if you go, over there near the tavern, people will go, he's pointing over there. Tavern, taverna, I can get on board with that. And maybe the Spanish exchange student can find their way to the pub. I use a lot of words. People look down at me for it because they're like, think you have ideas above your station because you just happen to know more words. It's something that I'm not saying I know every single word, but I do tend to use a lot of words and it gets the piss taken out of me an awful lot. But if I spoke like a pirate and I was fierce and I was to the point, which I'm not, then maybe people go, this man obviously has got his shit together. He knows what he wants to say.
I've got two things to say in contrast to what you've had to say. I've listened to you and I get what you're saying and it's a very good point. But number one, if everything that's important that needs to be said can be done in a pirate voice and accent, you wouldn't have switched back to your regional dialect. And also, number two, the way you were explaining, Yara, we just speak like this because it's part of the trade that we just know what each other's saying. Unfortunately, things have developed. We now have health and safety. We have legislation that we have to follow. We have liability insurance. And saying, Yara, just do this, doesn't work anymore. You have to follow strict procedures. And that times are a-changing and pirates are a-changing. pirates back in the 1600s, not an issue with. But the pirates these days, very different. So
are you saying I'd have to sound like a Somalian pirate?
Not necessarily Somalian. I'm not going to group anybody out. I'm sure there's plenty of other pirates out there. We've been pirates before when we built a raft.
Look at me. I am your captain now.
I wish I had known that line when we sailed into the centre of that lake, dived aboard our friend's raft they built out of logs and barrels and rope, untied the ropes and then dived back onto our raft. But unfortunately, we didn't. But we had a lexicon then. We didn't have to speak like pirates, even though we were pirates. So maybe times are changing.
You've used lexicon 3 times now. Can you please use one of your many words to replace it?
Vocabulary.
And another?
There is one on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember. But this isn't the choice of... It's not a discussion of whether I know lots of words. It's a discussion of whether I wish I knew lots of words.
How would you use your words for good? Because I've told you how I'd use my words. And that's very directly and angrily all the time. And I don't see a problem with that.
How would I use it for good? I'd educate people so they stop using the words like and said too much.
Even with this open forum of Would John Rather, people are still going to do it and it's still going to grate you. And all you're going to know is about 100 more ways people could describe things, but still going to use like.
Exactly like the example you just put across. I use lexicon 3 times because I don't have an advanced enough vocabulary to use different words. Why do people say like or said all the time? Because they haven't got the education or the advanced vocabulary to use different words. If me and you and John in this media forum had the lexicon, I'm going to use it a 4th time, to use different words all the time, people would learn them. Have you ever read a book and you've gone through and you've gone, hang on a sec, what's that word? So you nowadays, you grab your phone, you look it up, oh, I know a new word. Back in the day, you'd grab a dictionary maybe, look it up, or you'd say to someone, what does this word mean? Or the context of the book would explain what the word meant. So you're learning.
I'm not going to lie, it wasn't until I watched the first Harry Potter film I knew how to pronounce Hermione properly.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of people say that. Because I've always pronounced it Hermione.
I'm not a strong reader. And I was like, Hermanite? No, just never pronounce it. Someone else will do it for you.
Hermanite, like a insect dinosaur?
No, more like a hermit crab that's fossilised.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I can relate to that. I didn't know how to pronounce Hermione either. I just, when I see words, or particularly names in books where I don't really know how to pronounce it, I just, in my head, don't pronounce anything. I just go, oh, that word.
You just recognise it and then use that for that character.
Really? It's,
yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I have a first instinct.
I have a killer instinct because it makes sense when you're a pirate.
So I've been listening to your arguments so far, and I think the one thing that's bugging me with if I knew all the words is that, and this is a point that John has kind of alluded to, is that not only would you be irritated by everybody else not having as good a vocabulary as yourself and other people,
but you spread the word like Jesus.
But you may also just be irritating everybody else. So everyone irritates you. You irritate everyone. You could end up alienating everyone and ostracizing yourself.
Love to see a pirate on the horizon.
How good would it be if I took a job at a call center and I answered it in a full-on pirate accent? And they'd be like, are you taking the piss away? No, I stepped off the boat last week. And they go, oh, okay, right, well, I can't take the mic out of that.
You're having trouble with your Wi-Fi.
I couldn't think of any better way of someone telling me that.
Did you know that there are only 10 letters in the pirate alphabet? I, R, and the 7 C's.
Oh my god, that's a Christmas cracker joke if you've ever heard it.
Anyway.
Can we recover from that? Can we rally to finish this episode, or are we just going to quit while we're ahead? No, quit while we're so far behind now.
Okay, give me one sentence answers. just to summarise.
After you, John.
I suggest you do it in a pirate voice.
Just trying to think of a nice, concise one, because I'm not very concise myself. Probably go along the lines of this. Arg, I may not be very clever.
Is that it?
Yeah, because I ran dry. I don't really know how to be concise. I really don't. I tend to waffle and go on way too long. So I think if I were to have a pirate accent, it would make me more to the point and make me more tolerable for everyone else.
I mean, arg. I'm going to stick with my consistent argument, which, I mean, you kind of brought up yourself, John, but and he was like, and she was like, and he was like, and they were like, we could educate people, or we could have everyone sound like, I can't read, and I can't write, but I can drive my tractor.
Ah, oh. See, the correct answer that would have won you the question, John, was something really threatening. Arr! Walk the plank! That would have won it for you. I think,
boy, if you don't give me the win today, I'll cut you from ear to ear.
Yeah, that would have won it. That would have won
Sleeping
it.
Sleeping in, yeah. Davy Jones's locker tonight, lad.
I'm not sure if he means he's going to cut you from ear to ear or from here to here, because along with
whichever
having...
is more intimidating for your little lily liver, boy.
So what I'm going to say is that not John wins this round, but
woo!
Pirates win overall.
Oh, of course. I want a pirate with an amazing vocabulary.
Captain Barbossa was the closest you'll get.
So, this is the time where we advertise how you can get hold of us. This week, I am really busy, so you'll have to call my secretary and ask for an appointment. The others can be contacted by Twitter.
Well, on what number?
The number of his secretary is 01480... John, J-O-N, would rather, at John would rather. The main Twitter, which is apparently no longer the main Twitter, but we'll leave it at that, is would J rather, at would J rather.
My Twitter is would John rather, that's would John, J-O-N, because H's are...
No, it's not.
Landlubbers.
It's John would rather. Rather.
It is John with rather. Sorry, I was listening to you. It's John with rather. Arr. Yeah, my Twitter is John with rather. That's J-O-N, because I feel H's are too landlubbery to be on board this boat.
And this is a perfect opportunity for a big shout out to our youngest fan, 4.5 months old. He's an honorary John. Elliot. Hello, Elliot.
Hello.
Hi, Elliot.
Okay. So, would you rather live your life as David Attenborough or Winston Churchill?
David Attenborough.
Winston Churchill, then. Because he lived his life doing what he wanted, telling Joe to fuck off and drinking scotch. I don't know a huge amount about Winston Churchill himself, but I know that he was really pushing for us to not lose the Second World War. And there's a few good quotes that I'll come back with in good time when I just Google them to make sure I've actually got correct.
I thought we weren't having Google anymore.
I can verbatim work my way through them, and then Twitter will shout at me and go, "You don't know anything about your natural." Sorry, you don't know anything about your national history, you bellend. But I'll get to them, and I won't use Google. But you know, fire away, David, with your retort.
I like animals. I prefer them to people. Animals don't do anything out of spite. Animals do things out of instinct.
You've never met a cat, then?
No, cats do it out of instinct.
Cats do everything out of spite. What, they fucking push ornaments off the top of shelves out of instinct?
No, you're...
I don't remember what evolutionary advantage that had.
Do you know what part of evolution that had? Being domesticated. And the thing is, John, you're putting a personality...
Just made them angsty.
You're humanising and putting a personality on the animal... And advocating their our emotions onto the animal. They might have different emotions to we do. They can see different colours, they can smell different smells, they might have different emotions. You have no idea what they're thinking and feeling. So we're just saying that the cat has spite because that's the only emotion close enough to what we think their feeling is. But in actual fact, it might be something completely differently.
It's the whole existence, not just the emotions they feel. Their existence is spite.
Yeah, but that's like saying all penguins are constipated because they walk like that.
Those have only got little legs.
Cats have got little legs.
Owls have massive legs. Sorry, David, I interrupted.
I was going to say, cats have got little legs in comparison. We're all
to what,
very...
a giraffe?
Well, and to us. And to dogs.
Tiger's a cat. It's got long legs.
Yeah. Not in comparison to a giraffe, though. That was your example, sir.
So, David, what would be the one scene in nature that you'd like to commentate on the most?
Here we have an episode of Love Island. Because I think you could put it directly opposite any one of his documentaries about the mating season, and it would be very similar because it's very primitive, but I don't think it would be as advanced as some of the animals have taken it.
Matt, you've gone 2 for 2 on Love Island bashing in this episode. I think you've got an agenda this week.
I really don't like Love Island.
It's finished. The season has finished.
No, I know, but there's going to be a new season of something like it. Strictly's all right. The cassette.
But Strictly is all about fucking other people, isn't it? And there's some dancing in between.
No, Strictly's all about ballroom dancing. Strictly is much more similar to the Animal Kingdom mating season than anything else.
I've never seen a bird like covered in glitter attract a mate that way.
I mean, that's because it's glitter's man-made, but they make their own.
I've never seen a field mouse covered in lycra either.
Yeah, we can use any example of any animal to do that. Or, I think birds are beautiful because peacocks have got lovely colours. Or, I've never seen a crow colour itself with neon.
Winston.
Yes.
How are you going to cope post Second World War? You know, your greatest achievement is behind you, and you now have to face the rest of your life knowing that you can never achieve anything as important as that again. How does that make you feel?
Like I won. The fact that people will reference me as one of the greatest prime ministers of the country in such a time of crisis is thanks in itself, and it's just one of those things that I couldn't physically comprehend how much pressure and stress that man must have been under, trying to keep the country afloat and try and keep its best interest without caving and striking deals or just going, no, I tell you what, France is dead. We'll put up a big wall and we'll try and keep ourselves to ourselves. It's someone else's problem for them. But he had the belief that if France fell completely, that they'd only be 23 miles away across the channel. He went, no, we'll put our necks out and we'll go over there and we'll fight Jerry. And we were fighting a very different war to the Great War, one that had never been fought, with the fact that the fighting across the air, the Battle of Britain, which is 100 years old and there's a lot of celebrations and memorials going on for it at the moment. The Battle of Britain isn't, but sorry, the RAF is 100 years old and they're doing a lot of celebrations for major campaigns. The Battle of Britain was fought in the air. Nothing had ever happened like that and to that scale. And having your capital city bombed repeatedly, having innocent soft targets made victims of a war that they're not really a part of in that respect, they're not fighting the front lines. They're in the middle of the country. They're getting absolutely annihilated. There's fires. There's people starving in the street. It's just not fair that he managed to rally the country. And we believed in Churchill. And he led the country in such an awful and desperate time. He was an inspirational character. I struggle to think how I could be him, but in post-war, everything must be infinitely easier. He may have not been the Prime Minister for peacetime, but what he did when he was in power and when he was in office was just exceptional. It really was.
John,
he may have not been a friendly character, but he got the job done.
John and John, I'd like to ask a question to John with an H, the host this week, and the answer to it, I think, could potentially flip the switch on which way he's leaning. I don't know which way he's leaning already. I know he's a big history buff, but I also know he likes penguins. Animals maybe, but penguins definitely. But I feel like this question could help bring it to a close. And John, without an H, I'd like your backup in the way I ask this question, because I think it's a very down-the-middle question. John, with an H, I think it's safe to say that myself and my fellow John don't know that much about what Winston Churchill did. Alas.
I know a lot about penguins, though.
I'm not a big history buff. How much of World War II, or in general, was that down to him? Because I know for a fact, if we went to war right now, Theresa May would have nothing to do with the winning or losing. That's down to the sergeants, the majors, the leaders of the armies. And potentially now it's obviously different back to what it was in the 40s, and she wouldn't have as much pull as necessarily Churchill did. But genuinely now I'm looking for some education, not just for me and John, but for some of the listeners who might not know. How much of that was down to Churchill? How much of that was down to the belief in him? And how much of it was down to his pull? Or was he just kind of the face of the war? Because I'm genuinely curious, because I've never really thought about it.
Well, I mean, I think what you're asking is probably the title of a thesis, not something that I can probably answer in the scope of a couple of minutes.
Okay. I mean, shall I simplify the question and we'll make it nice and quick? Would we have won World War II without Winston, or could we have won World War II without Winston Churchill?
Who knows? Maybe not.
Well, then, in that case, then I love David Attenborough, and he's brilliant for education and for entertainment, but I don't want to be learning about my favourite animal, the red-eyed tree frog, in German, so John wins. I step back.
Okay, well, I was going to say, regardless of what either of you said, that Winston Churchill won because he's got the more interesting name.
Attenborough is more interesting than Churchill.
No, first names.
Winston's a cool name. I've met a Winston in real life.
Yeah.
He was cool.
I mean, the way it was going anyway, I mean, Winston Churchill was going to win.
I mean, my diplomatic and humble step back, you just literally blew the shit out of its knees. Thanks for that, but no, that's fine.
Just like Churchill did to the Luftwaffe.
John, is this John without an H? Is this how it felt every time that I dubbed you the loser, and it didn't matter what you said leading into it?
It felt a bit like that.
I feel hollow. Hollow is how I feel.
And now are you ranting about it? Do you feel a little bit feisty?
No, I don't, because I know I'm getting just desserts.
Well, thank you for the victory. I'm never going to say no to that. I think Churchill's I don't know that much about him, but I know that there's a reason why he's on money. Because he did something good.
I mean, part of the reason that I said that it was an essay in itself is that a lot of the history that's been written about the Second World War was written by Churchill himself. So, you know, a lot of the interpretation of what happened was written through his own lens. So, you know,
this may be true, Judge Master, this
World
week,
War
John.
Was like
but in the morning, you will still be wrong, but I will be sober.
Quite right. So, anyway, moving
on. Did you like that? Did you like that?
I did.
Yeah, good.
I did like that. So, moving on to our third and final installment of the Would You Rather questions. Would you rather always believe the last thing that you're told, or never be able to believe anything that you're told?
Never believe anything that you're told. Because there's a lot of stuff people are always on about, like Gwyneth Paltrow, like, what is she on about? Yeah, coffee enemas. Yeah, that's the best way to start your day. No, I think I'd like to do my own research into what is the best way to start the day. I'm not having a fresh cup of coffee stuck up my chuff. I'm not. No, just let me let me figure my own things out.
I mean, I'm going to go with the contrary on that. I like new experiences. And if you never believe anything, how are you ever supposed to grow? I mean, at what age do you grow this feeling of never being able to believe anything you're told? Is this from birth? I hope it's not from birth, otherwise you'd just be this wailing, just nothing. You'd have to develop it at some point. So we'll assume it's like 16
I guess
to 8.
From now, going forward.
From now? But
yeah, you've been asked now.
Yeah, so I'll believe something I'm told. I mean, it would make A, work a lot easier because you just do as you're told. Why am I doing this? Because of this. Okay, you know it's a lie most of the time. You're just doing as you're told. But you've got no questions. You're just getting on with it. Ignorance is bliss, as we've said in previous episodes. Number two, relationships. No, I do love you. I'll never cheat on you. How many people would be happier just by hearing that line? Ignorance is bliss, like I've said. Like, there's so many points in your life, and taking out of that miserable side that I just brought up, I didn't realise how depressing it was until I said it. No, just want to clarify, not experiencing that in my own personal life. It was just a comment. But, firsts. People say to you, oh, you want to believe in the healing power of crystals? The three of us are going to go, thank you for that perfectly timed laugh. We're going to go, no, and we're going to go, you know what, we're miserable, we're not well, fuck it. Imagine if you had that hope in the power of crystals. You go, yeah, I'm going to try it, this is going to work, and it doesn't work, and the next person you bump into, they go, oh, what's up? Oh, I tried the healing power of crystals because I'm not feeling brilliant, it didn't work, and they go, oh, you don't want the healing power of crystals, you know what you want. What do I want?
Snake oil.
You want a cappuccino up the arse? And you go, yes, finally, I found the answer to my depression. A cappuccino up the arse doesn't work. The next person you bump into, what's up? Oh, I was told cappuccino up the arse was going to help with, you know, my emotions and everything. And they go, no. You don't want a cappuccino
drinking
up your
healthy.
Arse. Is that what you said, John? A snake up your arse? Is that what?
No, I said snake oil.
Oh, well. Well, how are you supposed to get a snake up your ass without a bit of oil? Like, but you're constantly being positive. You're trying to think of ways out of things. Where if you never believe anything anyone says, why are you going to? Oh, John, guess what? I just bought the new Spider-Man game on PS4 and it's amazing.
I'll be the judge of that. And then I play it and then I go, actually, I find that amazing. So as much as your opinion doesn't mean anything to me, I do agree with you. I'm not disbelieving everything anyone ever says. I'm going to disbelieve what you say until I can form my own opinion.
Yeah, but...
And so why I had such a hearty laugh earlier is because both John and I went to the Natural History Museum, and John pressed himself up against some glass in the geology department, and me and his wife went, John, what are you doing? And he just said, I'm feeling the healing power of the crystals. And then he sprung up from the counter and, like, skipped off into the distance. And both me and his wife were like, what the fuck is wrong with him? She looked at me like, how long has he been your friend? And I looked at her and went, how long have you been married to? And then we just sort of mutually agreed that we wouldn't do very well without him because he does mean a lot to us. And then we just carried on.
All right, stop sucking up.
One of my issues with never believing anybody ever would be, oh, honey, I've made you some breakfast. You fucking what? No, you haven't.
Whoa, no. There is a cynicism to this, not a outright calling everyone a liar and swearing at them instantly. There's a difference between not believing and calling someone out there and then and being really harsh and unpleasant about it. Like, if I said to you, oh, John, there's fairies down the bottom of my garden, you'd be like, yeah, John, I don't think there are, rather than shouting, you're a massive dickwad, shut up. If I don't find this fairies, I'm going to bury you underneath the patio slabs at the back of the garden. Which is how you're trying to make it sound. I'm not that harsh. I'm just, the way I see it is being a bit cynical. I found the most amazing ice cream the other day.
Right. Mm,
is it Most Amazing Ice Cream?
I'm sorry.
A lot of investigation to it.
I'm sorry to do this again, but I think I've got. It could be like the B and make, and it's not deliberate. It's just occurred to me. We're talking about belief. The biggest thing when it comes to belief is religion, and religion, whether you believe it or not, ironically because of belief, but is one of the main causes of conflict, of war, of everything else. I'm an atheist.
So what you're saying is on the wrong day.
No. I'm an atheist. I used to be agnostic, but I realised you've got to pick a team. I'm an atheist, but I think life would be better if I believed, but it's a belief system, and you can't just force someone to believe. You can't force yourself to believe. It has to spring up. It has to appear. And as much as I'm an atheist, I wish I believed in something. I wish I believed there was a purpose. And I don't. And it's probably the thing that makes me saddest is that I don't believe there's a reason. And I wish I did, because everybody religious that I've ever met has this obnoxious purpose that I envy so much, but I can't have myself because it's not something you can force on someone. So if I could have that simple belief, I'd have that. And that oblivious happiness is something that I think we all strive, but we can't necessarily all get. And with believing in whatever you're told, it's attainable.
The thing is, if you walk into a church, they'd go, ah, Jesus Christ, he's our Lord and Savior. And you'd be like, cool, I believe that. And then you go to temple, and a rabbi turns up and he says, nope, Jesus was very good, but he was not the Son of God. He was a prophet, but he wasn't the Son of God. And you're like, oh, okay, so shalom. Right, cool. And then, you get drawn into some Sikhs and their free food. And they tell you all about what's going on over there. And you're like, cool, I believe in this. And every day of the week, you'll be in a different religious building.
But at what point?
Won't actually have faith.
At what point in this story, this elaborate rhubarb that you've weaved, am I unhappy?
When you start a third world war because you've made all of the religious parties decide to be resentful towards each other because they realise they can't keep you in the seats in their religious building because you keep flip flopping and it makes them angry.
John, I'm really, really flattered you think I mean that much to anyone.
You do. Because you believe in it, because I've just told you that.
Yeah, but I believe in that. That doesn't mean all of the leaders of all of the religions. I don't know who. Do other religions have a pope? Like, we're under the understanding that Christianity is led by the pope. Do other religions have a pope? Is there a Muslim pope or a Sikh pope?
The Dalai Lama.
Is there a you know, emperor, rabbi out there? I don't actually know.
Well, the Pope's only head of the Catholic Church. The Church of England is headed up by the Queen.
There's an Orthodox Church that also has a Pope, an alternative Pope.
And I did mention the Dalai Lama.
You mentioned him twice?
Because no one seemed to listen to me first time round. Who's the head of church for the Flying Spaghetti Monster? He's, or she, is someone I'd probably like to meet at some point.
I don't know that it does. I mean, there's the guy who wrote the book, but I don't know whether he claims to be like
him that got his like passport photo taken with the colander on his head.
Maybe it's him, but I don't know whether he was. I don't know whether he was the founder. I don't think so.
Type of fish, wasn't that?
And some fell on stony ground.
Right. Well. This is really, really difficult because on the one hand, I've got but essentially the argument that sort of ignorance is bliss and, you know, wouldn't it just be easier and make you happier if, you know, you just kind of went along with everyone told you. On the other hand, I've got the rational, skeptical, the kind of thought process that has driven science for the last several hundred years and has
led to... And it's also the train of thought that never gets you scammed by the Nigerian prince.
It is, but we're not...
Lottery.
If John's allowed to say one final thing, then I'll say one final thing. We're not talking about everyone having this mindset. We're talking about just you.
So, It's a common wide thing that no one actually believes in the Ugandan National Lottery or the Nigerian prince who you need to send £500 to before he can give you all the funds and his kingdom.
I mean, it wouldn't be such a famous...
If you got an email like that, you'd be like, oh yeah, brilliant, I believe you. You can have all my money.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be such a famous plot if no one had ever fell for it. Anyway, sorry, John, we've interrupted your decision.
Oh, as I said, it's a difficult one. I think...
Do you want a little tip, what I used to do? If I wasn't sure, I just flipped a coin.
Okay.
Oh. Heads are in, tails, Matt loses.
Right, I'm going to come down on the side of never being able to believe anything that you're told. I think it's just because I do have a lot of sympathy for the argument that, you know, the happiness, and you made some excellent arguments, but I can't help but feel like it would probably end up getting you into more trouble than it would lead to happiness. Told you, I'm going to give you some little sweets, little boy, and then drags you into their car and has their way with you.
No. You can't use that argument because you said from now.
Yeah, but everyone's still going to, you're still going to believe them from now.
And also, I'm doing exactly the same thing as last week, but I can't help it. We've been going a while now. We have. I'm pretty sure it was episode 1 or 2 where we were talking about would you rather be smart or pretty. You argued pretty, and it was the exact same argument, and I went with you, and that was your argument. The reverse way round. Trice has still gone with being smart. You've gone with being smart. I can't wait until at some point the roles are reversed, and I'm curious to see what Trice would do, because Trice has to go for me to make the full triangle.
Don't try and look for a precedent in what I say.
stop trying to rig the votes.
I appreciate your thought process on it. You are in charge, but for me, I was looking at the personal happiness rather than world happiness. Like, that's why I tried to put over at the end, like, do we want the world to be a better place? Yeah. Okay, go with John. Do I want to be happy? Yeah. Ignorance is bliss.
And, you know, it was a difficult call, but I'm pretty stubborn and I don't tend to change my mind, even if I've been proven wrong.
I'm pretty as stubborn, we're aware. And also I've had to deal with your shit for the last half a year, so we're going to make sure you don't get to ask a question for a little while. It's fine, I understand.
It wasn't about that.
Does that mean I win? I'm asking the questions next episode.
Arr, it certainly does.
Arr.
Well, I guess that means you're the winner, John. Shout out again to Elliot, our youngest listener.
Let us know if you think that you're our oldest listener.
I just want to ask a really quick question, like, just before Infinite Paradise starts. Gut reactions. I'm torn on this one. Would you rather have a peg leg or a hook?
Peg leg.
Hook.
Okay, we're not going to argue about it. We've got to win this episode.
I'm still on the fence, but thank you for your honest opinions, guys.
I've been John.
I've also been John, and I don't know how I'd prefer to be handicapped, apparently.
And I've been not John, and apparently when John with an H hosts, he feels that he can sign off with just saying, I've been John, and that's enough because he's hosted. So let him know in Twitter how inappropriate that is, that the power's gone to his head, that I've been John is enough. Thanks for listening to me, John, rather.
I've been John, and you've been lucky enough to hear my voice. Why are pirates always surly and angry?
Because they are.
Yeah.
If I was a parrot, I'd be Yargo.